It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are moving into the peak of summer. And that usually involves the, well, for me, the peak of summer, it's sort of symboled, brought to consciousness, I guess, by the blooming of the black-eyed Susans and the tall woodland sunflower, which hasn't begun to bloom. The black-eyed Susan is blooming and probably approaching its first peak of bloom. But the tall woodland sunflowers, not yet. Dallas Hudson over in Akeley says that that's happening over there. What else tells me that summer is here? Ripening berries. And the first blueberries are ripening outside in the natural world. The dwarf raspberries are ripe, and I ate some yesterday. Red raspberries are just beginning to ripen. There are a couple of ripe raspberries in the area, and the Juneberries are starting to ripen. And with the Juneberries, remember, you've got to get after them when they're ripe, because the birds are definitely watching them and eating them the moment they become ripe. And Juneberries are quite delicious, so I have mine covered in netting so that the birds can't get at them, although the chipmunks will climb up under the netting, chew their way in, and have their way with the Juneberries. That doesn't sit well with me, and I put my dog out there and let her have her opportunities to chastise the chipmunks. And chastise she does. If you're a dog and you chastise chipmunks, it's hard on the chipmunks. They don't often survive. But there are lots of them, so I guess it's a fair trade. It's all worth it when it comes to Juneberries. Other plants that I'm seeing in bloom, just the flowers now, just looking at flowers. The tall meadow rue, this is, you're going to see a cloud of kind of creamy white standing pretty much above most of the surrounding vegetation. Tall meadow rue, if you get up and look at it, there'll be clusters of these little white flowers, and they have little dangly bits. They always remind me of sort of the bits of cut glass that you see hanging down from a chandelier. There are lots of little dangly parts on the tall meadow rue flowers. Meadow sweet, which grows along the lake edge, is just now putting out flower buds. I haven't seen any blooms yet, but the flower buds are out. Swamp milkweed began to bloom this past week. That was about a day early. Fringed loosestrife is blooming, and that's about 3 days early. Fringed loosestrife, if you come across it, typically it's going to be five-petaled flowers about the size of a quarter, half to three-quarters of an inch across, and the edges of the flower petals are kind of rough and fringed. So fringed loosestrife. Now, Dallas over in Akeley came across the ragged fringed orchid, which is a tall white orchid typically growing where I have seen it is growing in thick grass. And here stands this beautiful orchid all by itself. And if you come across this orchid, it has a white flower, and the flower looks really, really fringed. I mean, there isn't much of a flower there. There's mostly these stringy little parts that sort of form in the shape of a flower. The fringed orchid is, of course, an orchid, and it is not common, but if you're out looking and you come across some fringed loosestrife, it may occur to you to look for the fringed orchid. They're both out there right now in bloom. I saw my first early goldenrod beginning to bloom this past Saturday, and that was 3 days early. Spikenard is blooming, and that's 4 days early. Clasping leaf dogbane is blooming, and that one is 6 days early. Fireweed is blooming, and that one was 2 days late. Down along the shore of Crooked Lake and probably in a lake near you, there's a little yellow flower called common bladderwort. And it's going to stand 3 to maybe 6 inches above the water surface. It has these beautiful little yellow flowers that are quite ornate. But the real trick of the bladderwort is that down below it has these bladders that sort of help float the plant. And they also are adept at capturing and eating some of the microorganisms that are floating around in the lake. And an occasional insect, I've been told. The Canada thistle, the first of the thistles, has begun to bloom. Canada thistle is the one that is more... So if you walk up to the thistle plant in your yard and you look at it, if the stem is smooth, that is without prickers on it, that is probably Canada thistle. If it has a stem that is covered in prickers just the way the leaves are, that's probably bull thistle. If you're looking at the flower itself, the Canada thistle, my wife is an artist, and so she beats into me all these notions about colors. I would say that the Canada thistle is more to the blue side of the purple spectrum, and the bull thistle is more to the red side of the purple spectrum. Both are purple flowers, but one is a bit more blue than the other. And the other, the Canada thistle, is a bit to the blue side. The bull thistle's a bit to the red side. So check out the thistles. They're probably, the Canada thistles surely are blooming in your neighborhood. If I didn't mention it, blueberries are beginning to come ripe. One of the flowers that I'm seeing really a lot of right now is a plant called sulfur cinquefoil. And sulfur cinquefoil, there are 4 or 5 different kinds of cinquefoils here in northern Minnesota. And the sulfur cinquefoil grows up on high ground. It is a tall plant, probably 12 to maybe 15 inches tall. It has this lovely, soft, buttery yellow kind of a color of the flower. The flower is the palest yellow. Think of a stick of butter and then maybe lighten it up a shade. There, it is yellow, but it is the softest, palest yellow you'll ever see. Sulfur cinquefoil, and it is blooming in profusion right now around my house. White and yellow sweet clover are both in bloom. The white sweet clover began to bloom last week around the end of June. Typically, that happens around the average date for white sweet clover first sightings is the 26th of June. Lots of hedge bindweed blooming right now. The hedge bindweed is that big white trumpet of a flower that when you see it, you're going to say, oh, look, the morning glories are blooming. We don't have morning glories this far north. We have hedge bindweed. The difference is in the leaf. Really, the flower is almost identical. But the leaf of the hedge bindweed looks like a spear point or an arrowhead point. And the leaf of the... morning glory is heart-shaped, so big difference, pretty easy to see. Let's see, what else have I been noticing? Well, basswood is in bloom. It's a lovely, lovely smell. If you are a beekeeper, you already know about basswood honey. It has its own particular odor. I would recommend, if you want a real experience, go out and pick a bunch of basswood flowers off of a basswood near you. Pale yellow flowers, big clusters, pick a bunch of those, set them out and let them dry. And once they're dry, kind of crinkly, crusty dry, crumple them up and make a tea. And you will be amazed at how beautiful it smells and how lovely it tastes. Basswood tea is, well, really quite nice. Sometimes called linden tea because the basswood is... known as a linden out in Europe. pardon me. Smooth and staghorn sumac are both at their peak of bloom right now. So if you are looking at sumac in your neighborhood, you're probably looking at a cluster of sort of greenish looking flowers. They're pale, pale yellow, but lots of green. And they are covered in full open flowers right now, both of the sumacs up here. No poison sumac this far north, so don't worry about that. But the smooth and the staghorn sumac are out there. Staghorn sumac, the difference between them is just the fuzz, the hairs that grow on the staghorn sumac that are absent from the smooth sumac. The staghorn gets its name because it's kind of like a deer's antler in velvet. It's covered in this velvety fuzz. So you can just look at the sumac in your yard and know right away whether it's smooth or staghorn. Mountain maples, these shrubs, are just freighted with seeds right now. Not yet ready to fall, but certainly lots and lots of seeds on the mountain maples. The American mountain ash is covered in fruit, though they are still green. Same is true of nannyberry, pincherry, chokecherry. All of those plants are really heavily freighted with fruit this year, and they will be ripening in the next weeks. Northern holly is done flowering and has set fruits. The fruits are just these tiny little green dots right now. It'll be a while before they become sort of the edible fruit that the birds like. Again, northern holly, one of those plants that produces a fruit that is not really palatable. I've tried them at different times during the year, and they are just bitter. There's nothing to recommend them. Among the insects, quite a listing of insects. The butterflies are just thick right now. The Atlantis fritillary, the viceroy, the monarch, the tiger swallowtail, the white admiral, the red admiral, northern pearly eye, and a dozen of the little checker spots that are so hard to identify, Harris and others. I have a big patch of spreading dogbane that is at its peak of bloom. There are thousands of flowers in this clump, and it is just absolutely alive with butterflies of every color and description at this time of year. So check out the flowers around your house. There are lots and lots of different butterflies. This is the peak season for butterflies. It's also the peak season for dragonflies. And just a short hike around my place, I found the widow skimmer. This is a black and clear wing with a white tail. The common white tail, which has no pattern on its wings but has a broad white tail. The 12-spotted skimmer, this one has on each wing, it has three or four dark or light spots. The females have no white on their wings. They simply have these dark alternating spots on their wings, but the males have white or black and both on their wings, the 12-spotted skimmers. Eastern pondhawks, my friend Fred Anthony sent me a picture of a female eastern pondhawk. He lives on the Mississippi River, just west of Grand Rapids. And my friend Dallas Hudson over in Akeley also has lots of pondhawks. And Fred's question to me was, are they common? And I said, it depends on where you are. For instance, I never see pondhawks at my house, but I go to Dallas's house and they are probably the most common butterfly or dragonfly in his yard. So lots and lots and lots of the pondhawks, if you're in the right spot. And the interesting thing about them is that the female is uniformly green from the head to the tail. And the male is uniformly sky blue from the head to the tail. There's a little bit of black here and there on them, but basically the overall color is on the female, bright green, on the male, sky blue. And they are absolutely gorgeous. And like so many of the different dragonflies that are out there. They are really worth the time to kind of get a close look at them. Another one that's out there right now and is one of my favorites is a calico pennant. And the calico pennant male has a black tail, and on the tail are four red hearts. So on the abdomen of the calico pennant, you're going to see black, and then right in the middle, probably, I don't know, segments 3 through 7 or something like that, there are going to be four red hearts in a row right down the top of that tail, and they are stunning. Calico pennants. The females aren't nearly as eye-catching, but they are lovely, and there are lots of them out there. Note about the mosquitoes, that they are increasing, but nowhere near alarming. I have no fear of the mosquitoes yet. They are nothing compared to some years. Deer flies are out and seeking blood. I have donated to them, but I have also, I've been bitten maybe 3 or 4 times, and I probably killed a dozen so far this year, and I will continue to try to wipe out the entire deer fly population, but I will have help. The spiders are out there capturing deer flies, and dragonflies are eating deer flies. And I can clearly remember one day a big blue darner landing on my wrist with a deer fly in its legs and munching on it. While I stood stock still and watched, it ate the entire deer fly while it sat there on my wrist, and I couldn't have been happier. It was a feast that I didn't mind not sharing, but it was certainly one that I enjoyed watching the deer fly get eaten. They are, they're quick, and their bite is painful. I was walking into the house just this last week. I had my hands full. Both hands struggling to get the door open. There's one biting me in the neck. I'm like, okay, get inside, set things down. I get my load dropped and the deer fly leaves my neck and flies over to the window, and I chased it to the window and squished it and had the pleasure of seeing my blood smeared on the glass. Oh, I do not like deer flies. I did have, on the 3rd of July, and Dallas had a note, a similar note, in Akeley on the 4th of July, and that was an incredible number of lightning bugs. And they have been in decline. It has been kind of hard to get out and see them, but on that particular night, there were a lot of them out, and I was just marveling. I stood outside for probably 10 minutes and watched them flash here and there, some very close, some further away. Lovely display. I've told this story a number of times, but I know that there are always people who are new listeners and maybe haven't heard this before, or there are people who have heard the story and forgotten it, but there are two major families of fireflies. There is the Photinus genus, and then there is the Photurus genus. And in these two genuses, there is a competition. The Photinus fireflies are protected by their diet. They eat things that make them distasteful to birds. And so the birds avoid eating them because they don't taste good. The Photurus doesn't have this chemical defense, but the Photurus female will sit on a branch and flash the patterns of the Photinus firefly. She can mimic the pattern of the Photinus firefly, and typically if you're watching fireflies, the females find a spot in the open where they can sit and flash. And their pattern is to flash a certain series of flashes in a certain sequence, and that attracts the male of that species. Well, the Photurus females copy the Photinus female's pattern and attract a male Photinus firefly. And when the male Photinus firefly shows up, the Photurus female eats it, kills it, and eats it. And in doing so, she gains that chemical protection that the Photinus firefly carries. And that makes her, even the eggs that she will then lay, will be protected chemically, and her offspring will taste bitter to birds, and it will reduce the number of offspring that are eaten. So this I don't know if it's a competition. It certainly is a sort of a diabolical way to gain some defense against your enemies. But the Photinus and Photurus fireflies are at battle all the time out there, and they have adapted some pretty interesting strategies in this war against their predators. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Get out and enjoy the fireflies, because they are only going to be here for another month or so, and then they will be gone until next year. And they provide a great deal of entertainment for some of us young at heart and for some of the young. I had my 3-year-old grandson out running around after fireflies one night when he didn't fall asleep. It's a great sport. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week and do it all again.